Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is September 11, 2019. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Binance US plans to begin onboarding customers next week. Ethereum co-founder Joe Lubin joins Hyperledger board. MasterCard, R3 to develop blockchain cross-border payments platform. CoinGecko releases TrustScore 2.0 to boost crypto exchange transparency. New mining difficulty metric points to $31,000 Bitcoin price by 2021. Coinbase may soon launch an initial exchange offering platform. Seed CX subsidiary adds crypto derivatives settlement for institutions. IBM official elected chair of Hyperledger Blockchain Tech Board. New data gives unprecedented insight into how Iranians use Bitcoin. Facebook Libra is seeking to register as a payment system in Switzerland. Legacy Trust to launch independent crypto custody business. Bear trap? Bitcoin price dips below $10,000 on low volumes. Powerful new Ethereum miner reaches final stage before mass production. Now let's get started. Binance US plans to begin onboarding customers next week. The largest crypto exchange by volume is making its US debut next week. Binance US said today that the platform will open registration and deposits on September 18. According to a company blog posting, the launch will initiate a rollout of multiple Binance products across the US. After registration, six cryptocurrencies will be available for deposits including Bitcoin, Ethereum, XRP, Bitcoin Cash, Litecoin, and Tether. Trading will commence later at an undisclosed date. Based out of San Francisco, Binance, US was announced earlier this year. Residing officially in Malta, Binance has physical locations in Jersey, Singapore, Hong Kong, and Uganda. Binance banned US customers earlier this summer following regulatory uncertainty. A partnership with BAM Trading Services was announced just prior to the US suspension. The new US exchange will not offer services in New York due to the BitLicense regulatory requirement. As of August, Binance had not yet applied for the license. Binance US did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Ethereum co-founder Joe Lubin joins Hyperledger board. Joseph Lubin, co-founder of Ethereum, is to join the governing board of the Linux Foundation-led blockchain consortium Hyperledger. The move comes as Consensus, the Ethereum development startup founded by Lubin, becomes the latest Hyperledger premier member, Consensus announced on Wednesday. Consensus said it will work as part of the group to explore interoperability between blockchains, as well as to promote standards to support enterprise-grade blockchain environments. Consensus Pegasus Protocol Engineering Group recently submitted its Ethereum client, formerly known as Pantheon, to the group as the Hyperledger Bisou project. Bisou, aimed to provide a platform for open development and deployment, marks the first public blockchain-compatible submission to Hyperledger, the firm said. According to Lubin, Pegasus and Consensus have been committed to open-source software and submitting Hyperledger Bisou to Hyperledger demonstrates that commitment. Public networks with tens of thousands of nodes are most appropriate in a world in which we will see the tokenization of many types of assets and resources. Hyperledger now has over 270 member companies across industries such as finance, banking, IoT, supply chain, manufacturing and technology. The governing board now includes 22 premier members, including Consensus. The more technologies and members we have working together, the stronger the foundation we can collectively build for blockchain-based solutions, said Brian Bellendorf, executive director of Hyperledger. MasterCard, R3 to develop blockchain cross-border payments platform. Payments giant MasterCard is to develop a blockchain-powered cross-border payments platform in partnership with enterprise-focused blockchain firm R3. In an announcement on Wednesday, MasterCard said the two firms have inked a deal to develop and pilot the payments solution. It will initially be aimed at connecting faster payments schemes and banks backed by MasterCard's clearing and settlement network. The platform will be built on Corda Enterprise, the commercial version of the platform, as opposed to the open-source Corda Network, R3 told CoinDesk. The partnership is planned to merge R3's expertise at developing blockchain solutions with MasterCard's existing payment systems and network. Ultimately, the firms hope the new platform will help tackle industry issues such as costly payments processing, liquidity management, and a paucity of standardization and connectivity between banks and domestic clearing systems. R3 CEO David E. Rutter said, "All institutions, large or small, rely on the ability to send and receive payments, but all too often the technology they rely upon is cumbersome and expensive. Cross-border payments can be a particular pain point. Corda was designed specifically for enterprise use cases such as this, and we look forward to supporting MasterCard in bringing blockchain-enabled payments businesses across the globe." Citing its July acquisition of international payments firm Transfast as a boost to its network, MasterCard said the deal to utilize Corda Enterprise will further expand its capabilities in the payments arena. The news of the partnership also comes just days after MasterCard joined the Marco Polo Trade Finance blockchain network founded by R3 and Tradex. Peter Klein, Executive Vice President of New Payment Platforms at MasterCard, said in the announcement, "Developing a new and better cross-border B2B payments solution by improving worldwide connectivity in the account-to-account space is central to MasterCard's ambition. Our goal is to deliver global payment infrastructure choice and connectivity as demonstrated through our recent strategic acquisitions and partnerships, including our relationship with R3. CoinGecko releases TrustScore 2.0 to boost crypto exchange transparency. Market data aggregator CoinGecko has upgraded its TrustScore metric in a bid to bring more transparency to the crypto trading environment. The company's retooled scoring system will evaluate global cryptocurrency exchanges using more complex metrics, beyond just liquidity. Speaking on stage at CoinDesk's Invest Asia event in Singapore, CoinGecko co-founder Bobby Ong said the firm has significantly increased the number of exchanges it is tracking, going from 45 exchanges 18 months ago to 363 now, a growth of 706%. CoinGecko first revealed the TrustScore system in May 2019 in order to combat fake trading volume among cryptocurrency exchanges. The new upgrade to the scoring system, now called TrustScore 2.0, will look at four additional major measurements, including exchanges' API technical coverage, scale of operations, estimated cryptocurrency reserves, and regulatory compliance. With the launch of TrustScore 2.0, progress is being made to promote transparency amongst cryptocurrency exchanges, CoinGecko co-founder TM Lee said in a statement. "We look forward to innovating further to better evaluate cryptocurrency exchanges based on a comprehensive set of data." With the new scoring system now live, CoinGecko has identified the top five crypto exchanges, according to its metrics. They are Binance, Bitfinex, Bittrex, Poloniex, and Coinbase Pro. In a blog post released Wednesday, CoinGecko explained that 50% of its TrustScore 2.0 is based on exchanges' liquidity, with 20% on technical coverage and 30% on scale of operations. Cryptocurrency reserves and regulatory compliance categories are not included in the overall TrustScore 2.0 calculations for now, but are considered candidates for inclusion in future TrustScore algorithm updates, the company said in the post. For the estimation of cryptocurrency reserve and regulatory compliance, CoinGecko said it's working with Bitfury and Coinfirm, respectively. New mining difficulty metric points to $31,000 Bitcoin price by 2021. Bitcoin, BTC, price should hit $30,000 during its current price cycle, new data based on mining difficulty suggests. Published by well-known analyst Plan B on September 10, the statistics combine Bitcoin price as a percentage of difficulty lows, along with the number of blocks since the last low. The difficulty is a measure of how difficult it is to find a hash below a given target. Simply put, it measures the complexity of the equations miners must solve in order to validate blocks of Bitcoin transactions. It can act as a measure of how much competition there is among Bitcoin miners to find the next block, as the higher the competition, the more incentive for the difficulty to increase. Bitcoin to hit $31,000 if the trend continues. According to Plan B, Bitcoin has seen several difficulty cycles in its history, each time price rising an order of magnitude less relative to the last difficulty low. The stabilization means that in late 2013, Bitcoin's price high of $1,300 represented a 50,000% increase versus the last difficulty low. In late 2017, meanwhile, its rise to $20,000 was a jump of around 9,000%. No price action yet. According to the model, the next peak will be lower still, at around 1,000% or roughly $31,000 by 2021. When difficulty last hit a floor in December 2018, BTC, USD traded at $3,100. Wee baby bull market, fellow Bitcoin social media personality Parabolic Trav commented on the findings. As Cointelegraph continues to report, Bitcoin's technical prowess has become increasingly at odds with its price. While aspects such as hash rate keep hitting record highs, the price has stayed sideways, failing to capitalize on a bull market which began in earnest in April. Coinbase may soon launch an initial exchange offering platform. San Francisco-based cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase may soon issue a proprietary exchange token, according to Coinbase's head of institutional sales in Asia, Keyvan Piristani. Speaking on a panel Wednesday about the evolution of cryptocurrency capital formation at CoinDesk's Invest Asia conference, Piristani said an initial exchange offering (IEO) platform is one of several capital formation tools currently being explored by Coinbase. "We think there's a really interesting opportunity there for Coinbase," said Piristani, adding, "In a nutshell, Coinbase is carefully exploring not only the IEO space but also STOs, security token offerings. But I can't make any formal announcements right now." IEOs have already been supported by most other major exchanges including Bitfinex, Binance, OKCoin and KuCoin. Not unlike an initial coin offering, ICO, an IEO is another crowdfunding tool for cryptocurrency startups. It relies on an exchange to act as a trusted broker offering the token sale, with each exchange issuing its own proprietary token, such as Binance's BNB, to execute the sale. It usually requires a commitment from the exchange to handle Know Your Customer, KYC, and anti-money laundering, AML, checks on a startup's behalf. While Piristani said news about a potential Coinbase IEO platform may emerge in the next few months, plans for regulated securities offerings in the U.S. are less far along. Announced in July 2018, Coinbase received regulatory approval to acquire several securities firms with broker-dealer licenses including Keystone Capital Corp., Venovate Marketplace and Digital Wealth LLC. About these plans, Piristani affirmed that broker-dealer licenses have been obtained by Coinbase, but they're still digesting the acquisition and repurposing the respective licenses. Piristani also noted that security tokens are talked about a lot but traded much less, and that Coinbase would wait for more market demand to roll out an STO product. SeedCX subsidiary adds crypto derivatives settlement for institutions. Crypto derivatives platform SeedCX is launching support settlement services for bilateral crypto derivative transactions. Specifically, SeedCX subsidiary ZeroHash, the company's custodian and settlement service provider, will now support derivatives transactions, the firm announced Wednesday, opening the door for institutions to settle derivatives on its platform. According to a press release, ZeroHash will support back-office settlement functions for Bitcoin forwards contracts initially, but will add support for options at a future date. This support for forwards will include the calculation of variation margin, initial margin and final settlement values, the sending of margin call notifications and the movement of funds, significantly reducing operational and counterparty risk, according to ZeroHash. Additionally, the service will allow institutions to customize the settlement of forwards contracts, for example, deciding the frequency of calculations to provide greater flexibility for investors. Zerohash President Brian Liston noted that derivatives are increasingly in demand in the U.S., adding, "We're excited to service that demand with the launch of this new functionality. Zerohash can now enable any trading platform or set of participants to trade and settle forwards in an efficient and secure manner." SeedCX has been building toward its physically settled Bitcoin forwards product for some time, announcing its intention last year. The exchange launched a spot Bitcoin trading market in January 2019, and began testing its margin swaps product last month. Two of SeedCX's subsidiaries, Zerohash and Seed Digital Commodities Market, have been granted New York's coveted BitLicense as well. The company faces stiff competition, however, Tacit, formerly True Digital, also intends to offer Bitcoin forwards, while Ledgerx, ERISX, backed by TD Ameritrade, and Bakkt, a new subsidiary of the Intercontinental Exchange, are all looking to launch physically settled Bitcoin futures contracts. Of these, only Bakkt has a firm launch date set, for later this month. Like SeedCX, Bakkt intends to offer margin on its Bitcoin derivatives products, announcing Tuesday that customers would have to make an initial deposit of $3,900 for hedging or $4,290 for speculating to open a position. IBM official elected chair of Hyperledger Blockchain Tech Board. The Hyperledger Technical Steering Committee (TSC) has elected another IBM official as its chair amid controversy over the tech giant's increased representation on the panel. Arnaud Laure, a senior technical staff member for blockchain and web open technologies at IBM, succeeds Dan Middleton, a principal engineer with Intel, according to an email sent to the TSC mailing list Wednesday. "I am happy to have the chair role in good hands," Middleton wrote to the list. A year ago, Middleton replaced Christopher Ferris, CTO of Open Technology at IBM, who had chaired the TSC since 2016. During the last year, the TSC launched the Diversity, Civility and Inclusion Working Group, which focuses on diversity broadly but is more focused on demographic rather than corporate diversity, Middleton told CoinDesk in an email. Over the same period, the consortium has seen more collaboration between projects, like Hyperledger Ursa, a tool that was worked on by developers from Hyperledger's Indy, Sawtooth and Fabric projects. "When it comes to influencing Hyperledger, code is king," Middleton added. "The real influence in an open-source community like this is contributions," Middleton said. "I sort of wish that all the effort that went into discussions on the election and all the effort that will go into coming up with complex election rules just went to actual technical development." Neither IBM nor Hyperledger was immediately available for comment. The Hyperledger TSC is responsible for creating working groups to focus on technical issues, approving projects and reviewing updates. Last week, Hyperledger code contributors elected the TSC for 2019-2020, and the number of IBM employees on the committee doubled, giving Big Blue 6 of the 11 seats. This rekindled concerns that the company has an outsized influence over Hyperledger, the Linux Foundation's umbrella group for open-source enterprise blockchain projects. In response, Executive Director Brian Behlendorf suggested that the TSC discuss increasing the size of the committee with the governing board or for one-time add of a set of new TSC members, so that this greater representation can happen in the current TSC team. Those suggestions are already being considered by the new chair. On Thursday, Laure posted a proposal on the Hyperledger TSC agenda page for the next four candidates in line from the last election to join the current term. "All those will be topics taken up by the TSC in what appears to be pretty short order," Behlendorf told CoinDesk in an email. Laure has worked nearly 20 years at IBM and has been involved with Hyperledger since its launch, according to his bio. He served on the 2018-19 TSC and contributes to Fabric, the oldest Hyperledger platform and the basis for the blockchain Walmart uses to track food through its supply chain. New data gives unprecedented insight into how Iranians use Bitcoin. Out of 1,650 Iranian Bitcoiners surveyed in Persian Telegram groups, 25% earned $500 to $3,000 a month from working with cryptocurrency, according to a survey conducted by the analytics firm GateTrade. This data offers an exclusive peek inside the evolution of the Iranian Bitcoin community, and so far it looks like the classic store of value investment thesis can hold water. More than a third of respondents, 35%, earned that income by mining, while 58% earned income through trading, both via exchange platforms and grassroots networks of local money changers providing liquidity with Iranian rials. The survey indicated strong growth in the domestic mining industry, with 70% of respondents expressing interest in learning more about local mining businesses. The Iranian crypto market is shifting its dominant focus from global exchange platforms to local exchanges and miners, because most centralized exchanges with Know Your Customer (KYC) compliance exclude Iranians. Roughly 83% of survey respondents said the community needed more robust access to exchanges in order to grow. In the meantime, a Gate Trade spokesperson told CoinDesk that many Iranians are using VPNs and purchasing foreign ID cards on the black market to circumnavigate discrimination. Bitcoin developer and educator Jimmy Song told CoinDesk he has seen similar developments in other regions. The conduits may differ, yet they follow familiar patterns. In China, there are WeChat groups for traders because they don't have as much direct access to exchanges, he said, adding, "I am also hearing about a price premium in Argentina, for example, because the economy is facing some issues. What we want, for all of these places, whether distressed or not, is for people to have the ability to accumulate capital and earn more money, to build things." The climate of censorship faced by Iranians has helped divorce local demand from global factors such as dollar prices, the gold market, or even local stock markets. Up to 60% of respondents said such external conditions had little or no impact on their Bitcoin investments. Most respondents were long-term holders, investing in Bitcoin with the intention to hold it for more than a year. Such is the case with Tehran-based blockchain developer Mahmoud Eskandari. He holds Bitcoin, liquidates various cryptos as a side job, and sends Bitcoin to Iranian students abroad to help pay their expenses, including his relatives. "Today it is clear to me that more and more people are using Bitcoin," Eskandari told CoinDesk. "Bitcoin has not had a profound impact on the lives of the Iranian people, but its use is growing among the people and I can see that." Roughly 29% of Iranian respondents hold more than $5,000 worth of crypto, mostly Bitcoin. Compared to statistics from the CoinDesk 2018 reader survey, which reached predominantly American and European Bitcoin users, Iranians are storing significantly more wealth in Bitcoin. Although 63% of CoinDesk respondents held more than $5,000 in crypto, Iranians are storing a higher concentration of their wealth. For context, only 14% of Iranian respondents earned more than $10,000 a year. Yet nearly a third of CoinDesk survey respondents were accredited investors and 13% described themselves as crypto millionaires. "Demand for Bitcoin is going to be felt in distressed economies much more than first world economies," Song said. "That's to be expected because they feel the impact of inflation much more." Facebook Libra is seeking to register as a payment system in Switzerland. The company set up to run Facebook's Libra cryptocurrency project is seeking to apply for licensing as a payment system in Switzerland. Swiss financial regulator FINMA confirmed in a guidance note on stablecoins Wednesday that it had received a request for an assessment of how it would classify the Libra project as currently planned. The agency added that range of services projected by the Libra Association would need extra oversight. FINMA said, "Due to the issuance of Libra payment tokens, the services planned by the Libra project would clearly go beyond those of a pure payment system," FINMA said, noting this mean it would be subject to such additional requirements. In an indicative classification of the Libra project, FINMA said a project would fall under financial market infrastructure regulation and, as currently planned, would require a payment system license from FINMA. Regulators globally have been raising concerns that Libra would raise the risk of money laundering via its global cryptocurrency available to billions of Facebook users. Just yesterday, U.S. Treasury official Sigel Mandelker said Facebook's Libra must meet the highest standards of regulatory compliance prior to any launch. A Swiss payment system is automatically subject to the Anti-Money Laundering Act, FINMA said. The watchdog hinted at the breadth of regulation Libra would require, saying, under the FMIA, all additional services that increase the risks of a payment system must be subject to corresponding additional requirements. This means that all the potential risks of a Swiss payment system, including bank-like risks, can be addressed by imposing appropriate requirements in line with the maxim same risks, same rules. Such additional requirements would relate in particular to capital allocation for credit, market and operational risks, risk concentration and liquidity as well as the management of the Libra Reserve, FINMA said. One condition for being granted a Swiss payment system license would be that the returns and risks related to management of the reserve were borne entirely by the Libra Association and not as in the case of a fund provider by the stable coin holders. With Libra planned as a global project, it will require international coordination from regulators, FINMA said, especially the definition of requirements for managing the reserve and its governance, as well as to address the risk of money laundering. According to a Reuters report, the Libra Association said, "We are engaging in constructive dialogue with FINMA and we see a feasible pathway for an open-source blockchain network to become a regulated, low-friction, high-security payment system," the Geneva-based Libra Association said. Global money laundering watchdog the Financial Action Task Force (FATF) is also said to be looking into Libra, as per another Reuters report from Tuesday. "We want to make sure that if there are significant risks, they need to be addressed," said FATF President Xiangmin Liu. Legacy Trust to launch independent crypto custody business. Trust and custody services provider Legacy Trust is spinning out a new business focused entirely on institutional-grade cryptocurrency custody solutions. Called First Digital Trust, the company will serve to grow Legacy Trust's existing digital asset custody arm as a separate entity with its own unique partnerships and shareholders. According to a Wednesday press release, this will allow Legacy Trust to focus on its traditional trust and pensions business while giving First Digital Trust the flexibility to innovate in its delivery of digital asset custody. Speaking the broader goals of First Digital Trust, COO of the company Gunnar Jayarv, who also heads Legacy Trust's digital asset division, said, "Legacy Trust was the perfect incubator to develop the digital asset business we are now spinning out into First Digital Trust. We are bringing an unparalleled level of experience to a space that lacks trust, and intend to set the industry standard for compliant and transparent custodianship of digital assets." Already, Legacy Trust has a proven track record of offering clients institutional custody solutions for Bitcoin and Ethereum-based ERC-20 tokens. Earlier this month, it also announced offerings for cryptocurrency-based pension plans for participating firms and the self-employed. All of Legacy Trust's existing cryptocurrency custody solutions will be transferred to First Digital Trust, which is currently going through licensing with the Hong Kong government. Newly instated director and CEO of First Digital and CEO of Legacy Trust Vincent Chok estimated the company would be fully compliant and licensed under Hong Kong regulation by late November or December. Speaking to the early plans for the new entity, Chok said First Digital Trust will offer clients not only cryptocurrency custodian solutions, but services to convert and divest holdings of cryptocurrency into other asset classes. He said, "Our theme is going beyond custody. If a client deposits bitcoins, we can convert that bitcoin into other assets classes. For example, first to fiat. Then, we can purchase real estate for you under your trust account. We can purchase stocks. You can maneuver into very different asset classes starting with cryptocurrencies." As such, Legacy Trust envisions the accumulation of $28 billion worth of digital assets in the custody of First Digital Trust within the first 3 years of its launch. In order to fuel these growth plans, First Digital Trust is looking at raising $15 million from venture capital funds over the coming months. "As the industry continues to develop at a rapid pace, we must stay agile to keep abreast of regulatory and asset change," said Chok. Legacy Trust has always prided itself on offering a reliable and secure service, and we're excited to develop this in our new business, First Digital Trust. Bear Trap? Bitcoin price dips below $10,000 on low volumes. View: Bitcoins drop from $10,949 to $9,855 Wednesday low may be a bear trap, as selling volumes have dropped throughout the price pullback. A widely tracked 4-hour chart indicator is reporting a bullish divergence and the daily candlesticks are signaling seller exhaustion. BTC could rise above $10,270, confirming a falling wedge breakout on the 4-hour chart. A wedge breakout, if confirmed, would open the doors to $10,956 August 20 high. A UTC close above that level would confirm bull revival. On the lower side, a high volume drop below $9,855 could pave way for a deeper drop toward $9,500. Currently, that looks unlikely. Bitcoin BTC has recovered from 9-day lows hit earlier on Wednesday and may pick up a strong bid during the day ahead. The leading cryptocurrency by market value fell to $9,855 on Bitstamp during the Asian trading hours, the lowest level since September 2. At that level, prices were down 11% from Friday's high of $10,950. At time of writing, BTC is changing hands around $10,000, representing a 1.9% drop on a 24-hour basis. BTC's drop into four figures seen earlier today validated the bearish view put forward by BTC's failed breakout on the hourly chart on Monday. Further, the daily chart is reporting bearish conditions with a lower highs setup. The cryptocurrency has also found acceptance below key hourly chart support of $10,060. Even so, the sellers need to observe caution, as the recent pullback lacks volume support and may prove a bear trap, as seen in the chart below. Selling volumes, red bars, have been consistently higher than buying volumes, green bars, through the price pullback from $10,950 to $9,855. However, the red bars have produced lower highs, meaning the selling volume, or pressure, has eased along with the price. A low volume decline is often short-lived and ends up trapping the bears on the wrong side of the market. Also, the pullback has taken the shape of a falling wedge on the 4-hour chart. A falling wedge comprises of converging trendlines connecting lower highs and lower lows and is widely considered a bullish reversal pattern. A break above the upper edge of the falling wedge, currently at $10,270, would confirm a breakout and open the doors for retest of the recent high of $10,949. The breakout looks likely as the Moving Average Convergence Divergence (MACD) histogram, a widely tracked trend following indicator, is reporting a bullish divergence higher lows contradicting lower lows on price. The bullish case would weaken if prices drop below the previous long-tailed candle's low of $9,855 with a solid rise in selling volumes, red bar breaches falling trendline. The long tails attached to the previous three candles indicate dip demand near the daily lows or bearish exhaustion in effect. The sellers fought to keep prices lower, but lost as the buyers pushed the price up. The daily chart also shows a steady drop in selling volumes in the last 5 days. So, BTC may move higher, possibly to levels above $10,270 during the next 24 hours, confirming a breakout on the 4-hour chart. The outlook as per the daily chart would turn bullish if prices invalidate the bearish lower highs setup with a UTC close above $10,956 August 20 high. Powerful new Ethereum miner reaches final stage before mass production. After a 9-month delay and $3.8 million of investment, an upstart manufacturer is ready to produce its first batch of powerful new machines for mining cryptocurrencies Ethereum and Ethereum Classic. Linji, based in Shenzhen, China, said Wednesday it had ordered 37 wafers from Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, the main parts that will allow it to build about 200 application-specific integrated circuit ASIC miners. These sample units will test whether the machines can mine as efficiently as they are designed to do using ETHASH, the proof-of-work algorithm used on Ethereum and Ethereum Classic. The testing units, if successful, would mark a major step toward mass production as Linji sets out to compete with makers of general-purpose computing chips, such as NVIDIA, as well as mining gear specialists Bitmain and Innosilicon, which both make ASIC miners for the Athash algorithm. Roughly 5 million Ether, ETH, the native cryptocurrency on the Ethereum network, is being mined every year, which, at its current price, is worth more than $800 million. Even for Ethereum Classic, which maintains the original Ethereum ledger from before a hard fork in 2016, about 9 million native ETH gets mined every year, worth more than $60 million. Powerful chips. Linji was founded in February 2018 by Chen Min, a former chip design head at Canaan Creative, maker of the Avalon Bitcoin miner. Chen told CoinDesk the new company was completely self-funded with about $4 million as starting capital. It announced the plan to produce Athash ASIC miners in September 2018 with an ambition to beat the efficiency of most existing equipment. Chen's target specification for Linji's Athash ASIC miner is set at 1400 mega hashes per second, mega henry per second, with an electricity consumption level of 1 kilowatt hour. To put those figures in perspective, NVIDIA's GTX Titan 8 card is now one of the most profitable piece of equipment on the Athash algorithm, able to compute 656 megahenries per second at an energy consumption level of 2.1 kilowatt hours, according to mining pool F2 Pool's Miner Profitability Index. With ETH's current price, $180, and network difficulty, as well as an electricity cost of 4 cents per kilowatt hour, each GTX Titan 8 would bring home a daily profit of $7.35. Similarly, if one uses the same GTX Titan 8 card to mine ETH, which has both a lower price and a lower mining difficulty than ETH, the daily profit would still be around $6.70. The total computing power racing on Ethereum and Ethereum Classic to compete for block rewards and to secure the two networks is around 160 and 13 terahashes per second (THS), respectively. Plana. Since the announcement of its plan, Linji has spent almost all of its initial capital on research and development of the chip design, the operations of its dozen-person team, and the order of the first batch of wafers, to bet the sample testing units will deliver the intended mining power. Linji previously said it was aiming to order the first batch of wafers around December in order to have samples ready in April and mass production in June. Speaking of the delay, the company said, "We underestimated the complexity of the chip and how long it would take to grow the team and make the company functional. We are cautiously optimistic that we can just move forward the rest of the schedule, which would mean 12 2019s for sample machines and 02 2020 for mass production." One possible risk for the business is that the Ethereum community has previously voted to activate the so-called PROGPOW algorithm in order to remove the edge maintained by large miners that can afford expensive, specialized chips, although the timing for that switch is not yet decided. Eventually, Ethereum developers want to transition from proof-of-work to proof-of-stake, which would eliminate mining altogether. When asked if Linji has any plan B if the switch happens, Chen said the company is, in fact, more active in the ETH community, adding, "Our plan A is to focus on ETH mining. So if ETH will still be an option, that's something good to have." In the Ethereum community, the PROGPOW plan still has some uncertainty. "For the time being, we don't see it as a market that we will obtain, so I don't really care that much." Reverse discount. In an arguably counterintuitive move, Chen said the company plans to adopt what it calls a reverse discount strategy when it starts to take in pre-orders if sample units prove to be successful. That would mean the more you buy, the more you are likely going to pay. The reason is to discourage any single entity from buying too many machines and thus concentrating power over the network. While Linji has not yet decided on final pricing for each unit to be sold at pre-orders, it says the goal is to achieve a payback period of 4 months for individual miners with a relatively small number of orders. "This is our efforts and contribution to the idea of decentralization," Chen said, concluding, "Our sales will go to developers and community first, with a focus on geographical distribution, and potentially with a malice reverse discount for large orders. This means that small orders by individuals would be priced to hit the 4-month return of investment, and larger orders would pay more. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.